Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor of Blaze Church. Welcome to our podcast. I know today's message is going to inspire you, encourage you, and lead you to know God more. If you want to connect with us, visit us online at blazechurch.org. Enjoy today's message.
How many of you are Irish? Raise your hand. Awesome. That's great. How many of you, like me, wish we were Irish, but pretend we are today? Here we are. All right. How many people corned beef will be eaten later today? Who's eating the corned beef and the cabbage? Okay, mine's in the crock pot as well. I'm excited. How many of you are like, I don't care what it is, I ain't eating that corned beef. This stuff's nasty. You can put as much mustard as you want on it. That's not happening. If you got to convince me it's good, it's not. I love corned beef. Got it in the crock pot early today. Excited. But I'm real excited to spend this time with you guys today. Welcome home. Today might be your first Sunday with us at Blaze Church. We're so glad you chose to join us today. It means so much to us. Anytime someone comes, but especially if it's your first time, that is such a big deal. So thank you for being here today. We are at the conclusion of a series that we started 3 weeks ago called Outside These Walls. Outside These Walls. And for 3 weeks now, as a church community, we have been intentionally reminding ourselves, we don't exist for us. We want to serve others. Specifically, the reason Blaze Church exists, our unique language around the mission of Jesus, is to blaze the way for lost people to meet Jesus. Would you say that out loud with me? We exist to blaze the way for lost people to meet Jesus. It's our reason. It's our passion. So that means today, if you don't know Jesus personally, if he's not your Lord and Savior, we are so glad you're here. In fact, everything about today is worship to our King so that you might meet him, so you might discover who God is. And as a church, we are committed to reaching lost people with the gospel of Jesus. That's why this Saturday, Spring into Easter, is not simply a fun community event. It's an opportunity to reach lost people with the hope of Jesus. You don't believe it. You didn't say amen. I'll try it again. It's an opportunity to reach lost people with the love of Jesus. Amen is the way in church you say, I agree with what he's saying. You don't have to agree with what I'm saying, but it makes me feel good. We exist for lost people to know him. It's why in 2 weeks, Easter services, why we're adding a third service at 8 a.m. so that more people might come into this space and discover the God who made them and loves them. And we get this from Jesus. The last thing he says before poof, he floats away and says, I'm coming back. The last thing he tells us is this, but you will receive power. Say power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, let's pause. You and I don't have enough power in our own selves to do what he says next. We don't have enough strength to be witnesses. We don't have enough power. We could be as creative as we want, but without the power of the Holy Spirit, it will not transform lives. I believe that. In fact, this year, in 2 months, in May, we are spending the whole month talking about who the Holy Spirit is. We want to discover him and his gifts and his power and his presence in our lives. But know this, we need the power that comes from the Spirit of God to do what he calls us to do. And what he calls us to do is to be witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. And for the first century believers, he gives them specific communities. Jerusalem was their hometown. Judea and Samaria were areas you don't go as a Jewish person. You don't go to Samaria. Those are enemies. So he's already highlighting it's not just for the people like you, it's for everybody and to the ends of the earth. This is the command of Jesus. So for us, we will be witnesses in Flanders, in Riverhead, in Southampton, and into the faraway land of Nassau County. It's so far. I never go there. And when I do go there, I'm always asking my friends who live there, can I park here? Is it okay? What does no standing mean? I don't want to stand. I want to park. So I avoid Nassau. But we need to bring Jesus there and to the ends of the earth. So as a church, this is what we are committed to. Why? Because we established this 2 weeks ago. Jesus came to find lost people. We talked for two weeks ago the entire time about his mission to find lost people. A lost person is anyone who does not know Jesus. And the reason why God uses that word, and it's so strong, I know. None of us like to be told we're lost, but Jesus used the word to show us when it comes to our direction keeping spiritually, we don't know what we're doing apart from him. We can try everything. We can try being good. We can try different belief systems. We can try spirituality, but apart from Jesus, we are lost. So Jesus came to find lost people. This is my statement and many people in this room. I was lost and now I'm found. And if you can say that, then the third part's for you. Found people find lost people. There's no way around it. There's no way that we can read the commands of Jesus and somehow conclude, well, it's not my job to help lost people find Jesus. It's their job. It's his job. No, it's all of us. It's our mission to help lost people know Jesus. And so today, what I want to do is drive that last part home. 2 weeks ago, we talked about how Jesus came to find us. Today is all about how we are commanded to find others. So we're going to read a parable that Jesus told. And a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It was very understandable and relatable to the first century audience. We're going to get this one a little quicker as well. But there's some cultural clues we need to understand. But in this parable, Jesus very clearly shows us our mission as found people to find lost people. So here's Jesus telling a story. Now, where is he telling it? This is interesting. He tells this story while at dinner at a Pharisee's house. So if you maybe read the Bible, like my son does this, he thinks the Pharisees are the bad guys. I'm like, they're not the bad guys. They're not, it's not the Pharisees are the bad, they are religious people who were so caught up in their religion and ways that they missed the heart of God. So Jesus actually came for everybody, including Pharisees. If you think he didn't hang out with them, here he is at their house having dinner. He's invited by a prominent Pharisee to come in for dinner. And he says, yes. Now that's cultural. Because in this day and age, as the host, who you invited and who said yes gave you honor or took away honor. Does that make sense? So as a host, you want to invite great people. Because then you can tell the community, you won't believe it. Jesus is coming over for dinner. Wow, you must be special. Jesus said yes. Yes, he said yes. So Jesus says yes, he goes. And at this dinner banquet, he tells a story about a dinner banquet. Why? Because he's Jesus. He's awesome. He knows exactly what to say anywhere he is. So he doesn't tell the farming parable. He doesn't tell the fishing parable. No, he tells the dinner parable. And we're going to learn from it. All right? If you're ready, say I'm ready. Here we go. Matthew 22, verse 2. He starts by saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. Now, there's a couple things. One, he's talking about a king. We are going to hear various bangs throughout this time, like that. It's right on key. Your goal today is to be as focused as possible because they're redoing the floors upstairs today. So let's stay in this room. And if I have to, I'm going to call an audible. There he is. There's my audible. And Josh is ready to play theme songs to sitcom shows all throughout this time just to make sure that we focus. Thank you, Josh. You knew right away. I said, if the banging starts, just bring the keys in. So the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. So the kingdom, just don't give me down music. I need uppity stuff. In fact, hold off for right now. I'll tell you when to come in. I'll tell you if it gets crazy. You know the Full House theme song? Did you practice that? Okay, we're going to get it. Whatever happened to predictability? Come on. Today's message is called Full House, by the way. It's like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. Now, you and I When we think wedding, we're on Long Island, we think big, right? We go into debt over weddings on Long Island. Now, if you do Simbus through Blaze Church, our Simbus facilitators will tell you, don't do that, okay? Save for your marriage, not for your wedding. But that's okay, you do you, boo, all whatever you want. In the first century, the wedding banquets put Long Island weddings to shame. They were days on end. They were celebrations. They were feasts. And this one in this story, who's doing it? What does it say? It's a king. This is a big party. This is one of those who you invite will either give you honor or take away your honor as the king who's doing a wedding banquet for his son. So here's what the king does, customary. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. So in this day, two invitations would go out. So we send out a save the date, and then we send out the invitation follows. In this day, a first invitation would go out. Hey, Joe, you're invited to the wedding. Like you're invited. It's not to say that you're invited. And then you say, okay, I'm coming. And then when it's all ready, like it's wedding day, the servants then come and say, okay, Joe, you said you were coming, so let's go. Like, come back with me. It's time to go. So the king sends his servants, and on the second time, after they've already said yes, what do? They refuse. But you already said yes. Like, you checked off salmon on your card. We already did that. You said you were coming. No, I'm actually not. So remember who's throwing the party, the king. Do you know what refusal is to the king? It's reason for treason. You don't get to say no to the king. So the king now gets to respond by saying, well, then just do away with them. Like then they're not coming. They're not worthy. In fact, kill them because I did a lot to get them here. So is that what he does in the story? Well, Jesus says that the king, then he sent some more servants, not guards, servants, and said, tell those who have been invited, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. Tell them I've prepared the meal. In fact, it's a feast. A fattened cattle in this day would have fed a town. This is a lot of good meat. I'm so happy this banquet's not vegetarian. Shout out to the vegetarians, but I'm also glad there's a fattened calf at this one. He goes, hey, my oxen, I've got everything prepared. And what is he doing? He's pleading. Come to the wedding banquet. Don't miss this. So you know what we're seeing right away? God's desire is for lost people to be saved. It's his desire is for them to come in. His desire is for them to be a part of this. He's invited them. He's prepared the banquet. He's done all the legwork and they're saying no and he's not relenting. No, come on. I want you to be a part of this. Let me speak to those of us who are saved, found people. We cannot forget that God's desire is for lost people to be saved. We can't forget that. Two things will happen if we forget that. First, you and I will give up on the lost people in our lives. I've prayed too much for them. My kids are never gonna be saved. My friends are never gonna be saved. My boss is definitely never gonna be saved. We're gonna give up if we forget God's desire is actually for the lost person to be saved. The second thing that will happen if we forget this truth is we will confuse a grace-filled, loving God with some angry God who's just out to get lost people. And then we'll become angry and we'll lose our grace around lost people. We've gotta love, we've gotta be kind. We've got to be compassionate. We have to be patient like our God is patient. Look at the words of Peter. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise as some count slowness. We just sang, all of your promises are yes and amen. He will honor every promise. Sometimes we wonder, why are you taking so long? Why haven't you returned yet? Well, here's why. He's patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all, say all, that all should reach repentance. Maybe the reason why God is being patient isn't because he's forgotten, it's because he's forgiving. It's because his heart is for lost people. Who lost people? All lost people to come to a place of repentance. So in this parable, the wedding banquet, the messengers go back and plead. And here's what we read next, Matthew 22:5. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field and another to his business. Now, Matthew and Luke write about this parable. Luke gives us more details. So let's jump over to Luke of what they really said. Again, parable. It says, but they all alike began to make excuses. Everyone say excuses. The first said, I've just bought a field. I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 yokes of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I love this one. I just got married, so I can't come. Now, do you know what we would call these? Excuses. It's in the text. You could have got that one. They're excuses. They're self-focused excuses. How do we know? Well, here's why. Nobody buys a field and then inspects it. Nobody buys 5 yoke of oxen. 10 oxen is a lot to buy. And then goes, you know what? I need to inspect it. You already did that. The only legitimate excuse here is the dude that said, I just got married. Because he knows if he leaves the house already, he's in trouble. The reality is everyone knows when they're getting married. Again, it's just a self-focused excuse. Here's what I want to say. Let's talk about us first. Followers of Jesus, it is so easy for us to make excuses when we focus on our kingdoms and forget about God's kingdom. It's just easy to get caught up in horizontal things. And they feel so justified to us. The field represents work. The oxen represents stuff. The wedding represents relationships. Those are 3 great things in our lives. But when great things become God things, they become dangerous things. When things that are great that God's blessed us with become now our excuse to the master, we're in trouble. And here's how you and I need to be compassionate towards those that don't know Jesus. When your friends who don't know Jesus give an excuse as to why they don't want to come, we need to be compassionate. We need to be loving. We need to be patient and kind and not just throw them out or discard them, the excuses or the people. We need to love freely and fully. Now, the king at this point in the story, he's insulted. There's no way around. When someone says, I'm not gonna come, king, and here's why, my field, my oxen, my marriage, the king is now insulted. So what is an insulted king to do? Humiliate himself further. In this story, he will humiliate himself further. Watch this. It says in verse 21, the servant came back and reported this to his master. Hey man, I don't hate to tell you this. This guy's got a field, this guy's got oxen, this guy got married. And the owner of the house became angry, rightfully so, and ordered his servant. Again, what's the order? Is it go destroy them? Is it go take them out? Go burn his field and butcher his oxen? No. Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Do me a favor, everybody gasp, say, oh. Okay, that's what the Pharisees would have done that day. Remember where he is. He's in the home of a prominent Pharisee, a religious leader, someone with clout, someone with influence, someone with a reputation. And when Jesus tells the story that the king chooses to send out servants to go look for marginalized, overlooked, low class in society people, the Pharisees would have said that is going to bring disgrace to the king. Why would he ever do that? That's not going to honor him. That's going to shame him. To have a cripple there, to have someone poor at his son's wedding. Why would the king do this? Here's what Jesus is showing us. Remember the first point, God's desires for lost people. Here's number two. An invite to this banquet is based on my status, not yours. That's what the king is saying as he sends his messengers out to find marginalized people. He's saying the reason why they're invited here is because it's not based on them and what they do. It's based on my heart and how I love. So I will invite who I will invite. And even if society says they're not worth it, they won't bring honor, they won't increase my influence, the king in this story says, I don't care. This might humiliate me, but I love them so much that I want them here. Isn't that good news for us? Isn't that, we can clap for King Jesus for that, because I don't know about you, I didn't show up to Jesus with anything special to say I'm worth an invitation. He showed up and said, because of my status, I'll invite you. So let's keep reading. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is, say those two words with me nice and loud, still room. There's still room. Sir, we invited, but look, there's two seats over there, there's four over here, three over there. There's still room. We've done what you've said. We went to the poor, the crippled, the lame, all those that society overlooks, we invited them, but there's still room. So what does the master say? Then the master told the servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes. Which country lane? Old country lane in Riverhead. Go there. And compel them to come in. Why? So that my house will be full. There's three things he's telling us to do, Christ followers. There's three things, they're right here. I shared with you 2 weeks ago. Don't get caught up thinking that this big word evangelism somehow needs all of this fluff around it. It's three things. Go out, compel them to come in. Go out, compel them to come in. Yeah, but don't I have to say, no, just go out, compel them to come in. So today we're gonna provide resources for you and I to do that effectively over the next 2 weeks. But that's all he says to them. Just go out and compel people to come in to my house. And that's the presence of God. This becomes the house of God because the people of God gather and worship him. It's his presence that changes us. He says, go out, tell them to come in. So what do the servants do? It says, so the servants went out into the streets. They gathered all the people they could find. And look at this, so important. The bad as well as the good. The bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. And the music's going, and the cocktail hour is happening, and it's a fun vibe, and there's people everywhere. Why? Because the servants did what the master said to do. They went out, they compelled people to come in. And they didn't choose who they thought might come in, the good and the bad. It doesn't say it, but maybe the ugly, good, bad, and the ugly. Just all of them. You can come, and you can come, and you can come too. Everybody, you're invited in. Come on, what if that was our approach this week? What if this week you and I decided, I'm not gonna size somebody up to determine if they're worthy of God's love. I'm just gonna invite them to know the God who loves them. I'm not gonna say, no, that person's got too many issues. Come on, man. The good and the bad. Fill his house. I told you, this house is going to be filled with people who are lost, who don't know Jesus. We've got a God-sized vision for this community. You are fulfilling that vision when you invite, when you give, when you love. Reverse offering stories were awesome this week. They are coming in, and we're going to be posting them on that website this week so you can read what other people did. But we had so many fun stories of people leaving ridiculously generous tips while they were out at a restaurant. People putting gas in people's cars. Someone bought someone's entire grocery order. They didn't get that much in the envelope, but they just said, I'll fill in the gap. Paid for someone's groceries. Amy and I were walking around Patchogue this past week. Had this gentleman come up to us and said, hey, I need $2 to get on a bus to get back here. I said, what's your name? He said, my name's Henry. I said, Henry, I want to give you this $10 bill. Tears filled his eyes. Why would you give me 10? I only need two. I said, because God wants you to know he loves you. Can I pray with you? Prayed with him. Tears running down his face. I said, Henry, can I just give you a hug? He wept in my arms because you gave and I had $10 on me to do something with. Go out. Compel, come in. We are people who live on mission. We love others wherever we are. So now the wedding's going on and they're doing the cha-cha slide and they're having a good time and the master of the house starts walking around. I wanna check in with my guests. Let's see who's here. Who ended up being at my party? This is so awesome. And we've gotta read the rest of the story because there's something really important that Jesus tells us. It says, but when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. Culturally, when the king especially provided a banquet, there were certain clothes that were laid out for the guests to wear. You know, like we do like a white party, all black party. Here's the bridesmaids' colors, their dress. You got to wear what you got to wear. And he goes in, what's that guy doing here? Why aren't you wearing what I provided? So he asked him. He asked, hey, how did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend? He's not angry. I'm calling him friend. How did you make it in here without the right clothing? And the man was speechless. He had no answer. I think he's speechless because field oxen and marriage excuse is not going to work at this point. You're here. You were invited, but I provided what you needed to wear to be at this banquet. Why aren't you wearing what I provided? I got nothing to say. So then the king does something that seems so drastic, and that's because, remember, Jesus is teaching us something. So here's what the king does. Then the king told his attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus, just because he didn't put on the tux, he's getting thrown out. And this is symbolic of eternal separation. So that's what this language is. This is Hebrew apocalyptic language. Weeping and gnashing of teeth, darkness. What? Just because he didn't wear the right clothes? What's that about? And then Jesus ends with a statement, maybe if you're a follower of Jesus, you've said or heard before. For many are invited, but few are chosen. Do you remember the first thing Jesus said when he started this parable? For the kingdom of heaven is like. Jesus is teaching us a gospel story. He's showing us what the kingdom of God is like, and he's using a story for us to better understand. So we're seeing our place in it, we're learning, but then he drives home the primary point of the kingdom of heaven. He says everyone's invited. Hey, go out, good, bad, crippled, lame, doesn't matter who it is, invite them in, great. But also when they get here, they need to be clothed in what I, the king, provide. You're invited. You and I are invited. Your lost friends and family are invited. And as we say yes to Jesus, we put on what he provides for us. Why? Because our good deeds are not good enough. Our behavior, our religion, all of it is not good enough wedding clothing. In fact, the prophet Isaiah says this, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. You and I can show up and tell Jesus, man, I'm so good. I'm not as bad as that guy. Look at how I love others. Look at how I live. Look at the money I give, the prayers I pray. And Jesus goes, that's great. But all of that stacked up is nothing more than a filthy rag. Why? Because you and I need to be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. We need his righteousness. That's why Paul says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Are you seeing the gospel in this story? The king prepares the banquet. The king is willing to be humiliated so that you and I can attend the banquet. And the king provides the righteous robes that we need to wear. Just like Jesus came to this world, paid the price, was humiliated for our sake, became sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You and I, as saved, found people, go out, compel others, come in, meet the king who's done all the work for you. Meet the one who has provided the banquet and the clothes for the banquet, because God's good. He's gracious. He is the one who loves us. So what we do in response to that love is we surrender. We surrender. We say, God, I no longer call the shots. You do. I am clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. He is in charge. And he says, go out, compel them, come in. Would you say that with me? Say, go out, compel them, come in. Come in. Today's St. Patrick's Day. Do you know St. Patrick? Do you know what he did? Do you know his story? It's more than corned beef and beer, everybody. It's a little bit more. It's a little bit more. And I don't know what's true or not. I read things. So fact check this. Tell me if it's not. This is just what I found. But at 16 years of age, Patrick was taken as a prisoner by some pirates. He was trafficked, brought over to Ireland, and for 6 years was a slave, escaped and went back and had an encounter with God. And then out of obedience to God, gets back on a boat, goes back to Ireland to bring them the gospel as a Christian missionary. Okay, that's a big deal. So maybe later, as you're enjoying pizza, not corned beef, you remember, he went out, he compelled them to come in. And this week, we will go out and compel them to come in. Because after all, Jesus went out and compelled us to come in. I came to seek and save the lost, his words. So, 2 weeks, Easter's in 2 weeks. And the reason why we put so much emphasis as followers of Jesus on Easter is one, because it is the day where we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And Christianity is not about a teaching, it's about an event, and the event is the resurrection. Jesus came, lived, died, and rose again. This is a celebration Sunday for followers of Jesus. And we have a responsibility, because in this part of the world, at this time in human history, I have seen it, I'm sure you have as well, lost people are way more open to coming to a church service than ever before. So why would we not go out, compel, come in? So in 2 weeks, on March 31st, I believe, I fully believe it, praying for it, this house will be full. I just believe that. Three times over, that there won't be an empty chair, because so many lost people need to know who God is. They need to know he loves them. So I want to help you today. The first is this. You have on your chair an invite card. If you want more of these, they're in the back. Take as many as you will give out. Like, I got 50 friends. No, you don't. You've got 3, and that's awesome. So take 3 and leave the other 47 for someone else. Take it. And as you take it, because that's what we're about to do now, I want you to already pray for the person you're going to give it to. Don't think God's going to bring me someone. No, no. You already know the family member, the friend, the person you see at the gym, at Starbucks. You know them. So take this, and that's why it's there, so you can hold it, and we're going to pray for them. Here's the second thing we have for you. In the back of the room, there are yard signs. Did you see those when you came in? Those are for you. That's for you to put on your front yard, in your neighborhood, to open up conversation with your neighbors. Now, I know that's going to ruin what you've been working on because you've lived there for 13 years and you haven't spoken to one neighbor yet. They don't even know you where you are right now. And you love that. I'm going to ruin that for you. Already, we've had this out on our block for a week and already people are walking by and I watch them walk by and they stop and I run out there, hey, 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 my name's Keith. What are you doing on Easter? Because I have to go out, compel, come in. I don't care. So take one of those and hey, if you've got a business, you've got a second place, take another one. They're yours. Your generosity made that happen. You're not stealing, you paid for it, okay? Take one, start conversation. And here's the third thing we're doing. It's this Saturday, spring into Easter. And I am so encouraging you, be there. Sign up to serve this week. Invest those few hours into the lives of people right here in this community. Because you'll watch as they go and they have an egg hunt, their kids, or as adults are enjoying food from a food truck, as their bounce houses, the whole thing. There's opportunity for us as a dream team to smile, to invite, to share God's love. So just mark your calendar. If you're available, be there this Saturday. Be a part of this. Because God cares about lost people. We care about lost people. We are called to love. Would you stand to your feet now? We're gonna sing one more song before we head out. I want you to hold this card if you have one, because I wanna pray. I wanna pray specifically for the person you're praying for. Because I believe that you've got someone, I know I do. I've got a name, I've got a friend that doesn't know Jesus, that I'm giving this to this week, to say, hey, I want you to be with me at Blaze Church. Take it a step further. Tell them the service time where you'll be sitting. On a dream team, you're gonna be serving at one or two of these services. So choose the one you're gonna be sitting in as well. If you're serving in the 9:30, but you're sitting in the 11, invite them. Hey, I'll be sitting at the 11. Can I save you a seat? This is a day to go all in. Love people well. This Saturday, we're gonna pray that God blesses this as we love people, as we've invested financial resources and time, creativity into this. And I wanna pray for you today if you don't know Jesus. Romans 10:9 says that when we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised Christ from the dead, we are saved. And maybe for you today, you're the one who Jesus is compelling. Come in, trust me. I've done all the work. He's at the door knocking. Thank you. Is that Jesus? Maybe. I don't know. He's saying, come in. Why are you living your life on your own when Jesus has done all the work for you to know him? He's made the way possible. So right now, I want to ask you to be bold. If you want to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're saying, I'm calling on his name today. Would you just raise your hand in this moment? Don't hesitate. Don't wait. Say, I want to be saved today. I want my life made new. I'm putting my trust in him. Scripture tells us that when we call on his name, we're saved. So we're going to call together as a church, give you the words to pray, to surrender your life to him. Say this with us. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus died and rose again so I could be forgiven. Thank you for new life. Today I surrender mine. Thank you for making me new. In Jesus' name, amen. Blaze Church, let's clap our hands right now with heaven. Listen to me. Heaven rejoices as you put your faith in Christ. And we want to give you that Bible and that Next Steps booklet. So before you head out the door, stop by our welcome home area. Now, do me a favor. If you've got a card, would you raise it? Would you hold it up? This room's just filled up. Filled up. As you're saying, this is the person. This is who I'm praying for. It's my son. It's my daughter. It's my neighbor. It's my friend. It's my boss. It's my barista. It's somebody that I know that doesn't know Jesus. And I'm praying that this Easter, they will say yes to Jesus. So Father, as we hold these cards, we say thank you that you love us. And we pray, Lord, send revival through Blaze Church. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to see lost people saved. So use our church this Easter. May we be people who live on mission this Easter. As we invite, as we put out yard signs, as we serve through spring into Easter, as we hand out these cards, may you bless it because it's your heart that the lost would be found. And so I'm praying for my friends, my family members who need you. May this be the year when your revival reaches their heart, when the lost will be found, when the dead will be made alive, when the blind will see, and use us. We are servants in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, let's